Hey, this is Dubshack from the Farpoint Recap, and you're listening to Dr. Matthew Smith and the Transformed Podcast.
But first, a word from our sponsor, GoToMyPC. More people are web commuting by accessing their office PCs from home. People love working remotely. That's why I recommend GoToMyPC, brought to you by Citrix, the best way to web commute. GoToMyPC is the easiest remote access service on the market. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and your office desktop instantly appears. Use any program, work on any file, check email, access network resources. Use GoToMyPC to work from home even one day a week. You'll spend less time in rush hour traffic and more time being productive. You can try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. But you must visit GoToMyPC.com/podcast. That's GoToMyPC.com/podcast for a free 30-day trial. As we grow spiritually, we learn that to experience a life beyond our wildest dreams, there are specific responsibilities we are to take charge of in order to be pleasing to the Lord. One of those responsibilities is to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus never wanted us to stumble throughout life as if in the dark. When you receive Christ as the master of your life and the savior of your soul, he promises to provide us with constant guidance and light the path of our lives. Discovering the seven changes that begin to happen in us and through us, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith teaches the congregation at First Baptist Church of Palos Verdes, California, by opening Ephesians 5. As you open your Bible now, let's listen in as Pastor Matt continues to show us how to enjoy transformation beyond your wildest dreams.
If you're in Ephesians chapter 5 with me this morning, let's begin with a word of prayer. You've already taken out your message notes, I'm sure, and have those ready with pencil or pen in hand. Father, we just thank you for being so good to us and giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for all of our sin and failure. There is no condemnation. That is our message. There is no condemnation. There is salvation. Father God, help us and strengthen us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Several years ago, Annie Graham Lotz, who is Billy Graham's daughter, tells a story of how Billy and Ruth decided that they were going to do an interview on television in their home in Montreat, North Carolina. So with the help of several friends, they came in and they cleaned that house top and bottom. They weren't going to have an interview in a dirty house. They cleaned and they cleaned and they cleaned. And when they cleaned and they thought it had it cleaned, they cleaned some more. And the day came for the interview. They started setting up their equipment. And then those big spotlights. Put them on those poles. And when they flipped the switch on those spotlights, Ruth was horrified. She could see cobwebs up in the ceiling and dirt all over that she had missed. She came to a conclusion that under ordinary light, things can look good. But when great power of light comes in, ordinary things probably aren't as clean as they look. As you and I grow spiritually, we learn that lesson, don't we? As we pick up the Word of God every day. Where Jesus Christ took some of those big surface sins away when we first came to Him, we think, oh, we've got it pretty well taken care of. And then we turn on the light each day of the Word of God. And we find out that what we thought was clean under the ordinary light of human understanding needs still some more cleansing under the scrutiny of the light of Jesus Christ. Have you noticed, if you've read through the Old Testament before, every person, same is true in the New Testament, every person who steps into the presence of God, one thing comes out of their mouth every time. And that is their shame for being in God's presence. In fact, the beloved disciple John, whom after everyone was dead, he wrote his books, and this is what he said, I'm the one Jesus loved. I always like that. Everybody's dead. Nobody can argue with him. I'm the one that Jesus loved. If you read Revelation 1 this afternoon, you'll note that even when he comes into the presence of the one that loved him, he's afraid. Because in God's presence, in that glorious light, there's more to clean. That's why we come back to the communion table each month. That's why we talk about the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we encourage you to get alone with God. You see, the bottom line is this. If you're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will imitate God's light. You will allow it to come in and penetrate and transform you. This passage we're going to look at today in Ephesians chapter 5 talks about seven changes that happen to our lives over time as we spend time alone with God each day, as we enjoy Him. First one is that our lifestyle changes. That's what you notice first of all, usually. We love the song Amazing Grace. We talk about how it changed a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. You know, I've walked through these buildings now over these last 3 years and that are our campus, and I don't turn the lights on when I come at night. Many people do. I don't. I walk about and go get what I need, and I'm very familiar with the buildings. And unless somebody's rearranged for an event, I get out unscathed. But I have to tell you, I have had some bruises along the way. And then I always wonder, why don't I turn on the light? You see, when we turn on the light, we don't stumble as much. And that's why it's so important that you understand that Jesus never wanted you to stumble in this life. He never wanted you to get a boo-boo because you were in the dark. In fact, the Bible's very clear. Let's read it together, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now notice that he's not talking about the light was around you. Notice the first phrase. He says, you were once darkness. Now, remember again, it's not you individually. It's y'all. Okay? Y'all were darkness. But now, you're light. But you're light in what? You're not so great. It's not you that creates the light. Who creates the light in you? The Lord does. And since that's true, you're supposed to have a changed lifestyle. What's the lifestyle change? Walk as children of light. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you at the point of salvation, he gives you an understanding. Jesus Christ comes in and lives amongst you, John 14 tells us. And so we have the Godhead living inside of us. The light of the Lord is in us. And we're supposed to change and walk and not stumble about in the darkness. It's all part of our responsibility. You'll notice that this does not say God will cause you to walk as children of light. Do you see that? This is our responsibility. My responsibility, yours. You are responsible. I am responsible. When we stand in front of Jesus, I've always enjoyed this. I've been pastoring for 30 years. And I've always heard people in the congregations always tell me funny things. One of the men said to me a long time ago, he said, well, Pastor, I'm just going to say things like, well, my pastor didn't tell me, or my pastor didn't help me. And I said, that's cool. I'm glad. I'm going to watch. That's going to be fun when Jesus goes, that is so lame. The 14 Bibles you had in your house, you couldn't read? We all, by the way, how many of you have more than one Bible in your house? Can I just see your hands? You might consider getting rid of some of them. Because for every Bible you have that you don't read, that just kind of like is, you know, the Lord's going to say, well, you know, you had 9 Bibles. In fact, when I did the first time this light came on, I remember the first time this light came on, I realized, oh my goodness, I've got 13 Bibles in my house. I better start reading them. Better start reading them. And I do, like this morning. And light comes every time I read. God, I just ask God to open my eyes. You see, but that's not the only change. The second change is our life's fruit changes. Our life's fruit changes. Now, how do you know what the fruit of a person's life is? You ought to write this in the white space. The taste you get when they're bit. That's the fruit of that person's life. The taste you get when they're bit. I love a sweet apple. Melody and I have bought apples after apples after apples after apples, looking for the sweetest apple. We love Fuji apples. We love Fuji apples. We buy Fuji apples. I love Fuji apples. They're sweet, and I'll bite into them, and sometimes you'll get those ones, and they aren't sweet at all. Have you ever eaten one of those? Kind of looks like a great big red sawdust box. Just got, you're eating cardboard? What is up with that? Some people are like apples. Well, all people are like apples. The only way you can tell whether the fruit's sweet or not is when you bite it. When bitten, you discover the fruit in a person's life. The Bible teaches repeatedly this point about the fruit. Let's read together verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Just like I love apples, the Bible teaches me, and I've put in your message notes, that the Word of God and the Spirit of God lead me in directions. They lead me into goodness. Goodness is when I actively do good things. And righteousness is when I do right actions in God's eyes. And truth is when I walk, my talk and my walk match. It's interesting that when we think about how we, you and I, are when we come to faith in Christ and live with Christ and the fruit of our lives begins to be developed, begin to understand, like I did so long ago, that if you want to have a sweet watermelon, you better have some rich soil to grow it in. One year we planted our watermelons not very far away from our cucumbers. I did not know anything about science at that point. But I learned a lesson that fall. I understood about cross-pollinization. Those were the sourest watermelons we ever ate. In fact, they tasted rather green, as in cucumber green. And I began to realize that as you and I grow in Christ, the same is true. What we get too close to, we cross-pollinate with. And our talk and our walk need to be the same. We can't be saying we're Christians and living like we're not and expect the fruit of our lives to be sweet. How will we know when we, what our fruit is? When somebody bites us. When somebody comes along and, what happens next is all we are. Period. Story's over. What comes out of our mouth, the attitudes we have, and we find out whether we've been cross-pollinated by Jesus Christ or cross-pollinated by the world. And if we've been cross-pollinated by Jesus Christ, let's read verse 9 again. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's a lot different than the world. You see, I'm always wondering, always working on making my talk and my walk work the same. How many of you struggle with this like I do? How many of you struggle with this walk and talk thing? Okay, good, you're making me feel better already. Okay, we ought to have a group session, hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Okay. Where do you go for advice to fix this stuff? Well, again, you go to the Word of God. So we have to go to the Word of God. And what are we doing? Well, read it with me. What are we doing? We're finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 10 tells us that. In other words, our direction changes. Our direction changes. Why do I rise early in the morning? Why do I pray? Why do I read through the Word of God? Well, I do that because I have a desire to discover what will please Him. I want to know Him. I don't want to know about Him. But to know Him, I need to know something about Him as well. I am the leading authority. Nobody on the planet knows more about this subject than me. I am the number one authority. No one even comes close in my realm. Everybody else is a 6 or a 7 on the scale, and there are no 2s, 3s, and 4s, and 5s on this. I am the leading authority on Melody. I know her inside and out. I can see her from across the room and know what's running through her head. Sometimes it's just boredom, get me out of here. Sometimes, you know, I just know what's going on. I'm the leading authority. Now, I don't know her completely. I want to tell you that compared to what God knows, I don't know her at all. But I'm working on it. Every day I spend time talking with her. Every time day I keep getting to know her better. I remember what she likes. I remember where she doesn't like to eat. I know what she is. That's why I get alone with God. Because as you get to know God, you become an authority on Him. You see, that's why David said so long ago, even before sunrise, I pray for your help and put my hope in what you have said. David wanted to get alone with God. He wanted to understand.